Hey friend, are you swamped with scheduling, bogged down by bookings, or overwhelmed with managing your social media? This message is for you. I would love to introduce you to my secret weapon, StyleSmart VA. This is a company of virtual assistants literally designed by hairstylists for hairstylists. I found them through an interview right here on the podcast, and then shortly after found myself booking a discovery call because I was drowning in administrative tasks and needed help. It's been a few months now, and I can't tell you how much my VA has changed my life. No joke, friends. I am such a believer in StyleSmart VA that I decided to bring them in as an episode sponsor here on the show. Listen, as creatives, our focus should be on the clients and our craft. And now that I have my virtual assistant, I can devote more of my time to exactly that. The beauty of hiring a VA through StyleSmart is that they come to you already trained and able to seamlessly step into your business. From managing appointments and client communications to handling your social media presence, StyleSmart virtual assistants free you up to concentrate on your clients. And that's a change your clients will notice and appreciate. I mean, can we say elevating your perceived value? So when you're ready to level up in your business and take some weight off your shoulders, head on over to stylesmartva.com and book a free discovery call today. You'll also find the link in the show notes of this podcast episode. StyleSmart VA, empowering beauty professionals to focus on what they do best. What is up, friend, and welcome back for another episode of the Your Hair Mentor podcast with your host and hair mentor here, Crystal Green. I'm super pumped to be here with you today to introduce you to someone that has become a friend of mine since we chatted, and I went on her podcast as well. Jodi Brown is quite the human being, my friend. She is someone that the more I get to know her, the more I realize how freaking smart she is and brave and creative. And I just know you're going to love this conversation that I had with her today. I mean, we kind of ping pong all over the place, but to me, it's like all very valuable information. So saddle up, enjoy the ride, and have a great time listening to my chat with my new friend, Jodi Brown. Welcome, Jodi. I am so excited to have you on the Your Hair Mentor podcast. I have seen your Instagram floating around and being tagged on so many different people's pages. I was like, who is this Jodi Brown person? Or rather, it's Jodi Brown, right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to bring you in here today and kind of hear your story about how you went from a hairstylist to maybe an industry-specific coach, and now you're not even necessarily involved in the beauty industry and what that looks like. Mm-hmm. But for my listeners who are not familiar with you, will you give me just a quick rundown of who you are and then where you're at, and we'll go from there.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that lovely introduction. My name is Jodi Brown. I am a marketing agency owner, and I have been in the beauty industry my entire life. So my mom is a hairstylist. I was born in Sheffield in England, and I was literally in the salon when I was 2 weeks old. So I always like joke that I teethed on perm rods, but truly that was the case. Like it was back in those salon days where my mom would put like my, little pram or whatever we had back in 88 when I was born, and her clients would like dangle toys and all this kind of stuff. So I literally have been in the salon since almost birth. I finished hair school by the time I turned 18. I got behind the chair, and I was in this industry for, I want to say it was like 15 years when I officially stepped out of it. But there's so much of me that just identifies as a hairstylist, and I think probably always will, because I'm so close to this industry. My mom is still behind the chair as we speak. So that is kind of my backstory of how I got into the industry. And then really what started, I guess, the journey that I have been on since then is I had my son. And I had taken a couple years where I actually worked in sales. So I worked for distributors and I was doing that. And then after I had my son, I just didn't want to be on the road anymore. My husband worked out of town. It just didn't really work for us. And so I originally thought I was going to, you know, stay home with my little one. And then I was approached by someone I used to work with. And she's like, hey, I'm opening a salon. Like, would you be open to coming back behind the chair? So he was 5 months old at the time. I tried to go back. I couldn't do it. It just didn't work in terms of like childcare and all that kind of stuff. So I ended up taking an even more extended leave. And I went back into the salon, I guess, part-time when he was 18 months old. And that lasted maybe a couple months because then I got full-time demand. So the thing that I kind of left out is I went back into the salon and it was brand new. So the area was literally still under construction. I hadn't done hair in the city that I was going back to behind the chair in for 5 years because I'd moved around, but in sales. So I was starting over from like scratch. On top of that, I now had a daycare bill to pay, right? Which is something I'd never had before. So I realized quickly that I needed to take control of my own marketing and I needed to figure out a way to get clients in the chair. I came into the industry before social media was literally a thing. Like, so it wasn't something I was familiar with. And what I did is I started, there was a couple industry-ish podcasts at the time, but I really started looking outside of our industry. So I started listening to podcasts like the Gold Digger podcast, Being Boss, like these bigger marketing shows. And that's kind of what introduced me to the world of like online education. So I started taking a ton of marketing education. I started taking Instagram education. And really, I was able with that knowledge to build a clientele so quickly. I used Instagram. I learned about the power of developing a personal brand. I used a ton of trial and error. And I really was able to quickly build a specific clientele. I wanted to specialize in balayage. That was all the rage when I came back. That was what I wanted to do. And I built and I was able to go independent and really create a thriving business for myself in a short period of time. So that was kind of the first phase, I guess. And I'm really, believe it or not, I'm trying to keep this short.
I love it. Don't worry.
I'm failing, but I'm trying. And so fast forward a few years, and I would, you know, we were going through some things in our personal life. Like we were going through like an infertility struggle. So I was really at a low point. This is almost like a cosmic moment that happened. I can't think of any other way to explain it, but there's an educator who I had taken her digital course because I really was struggling with boundaries. I think a lot of successful independent stylists can relate to this. The first struggle, of course, is like making the money, bringing in the clients, all this stuff. And then you get to a point where you're like, so much of your identity is tied to that, that you're like, okay, I was definitely full on in people pleaser mode. And I was getting a lot of my validation, especially because of what was going on in my personal life from being, you know, the be all end all to my clients. Like that was where I was getting so much of like, you know, it was really keeping me going, to be frank, but until it didn't, the burnout got really real. So I'd taken this educator's course because I really wanted to learn how to implement boundaries and, you know, just take care of myself while still running a successful business. So I live in Canada, in the closest city to me is called Edmonton. And this educator was actually coming to the city that I worked in. And so she sent me a message on Instagram totally out of the blue and was like, hey, I'm hosting a class in your city and I would love if you came. Like, let me know if you're interested in coming to this class. And to give a little backstory on this, like a short backstory, I literally was at a stage where I was struggling so heavily with like my mental health that I wasn't even seeing like my friends, let alone going to like classes with random people. So initially I really was like, I don't know, it was hard for me, but something in me was like, I need to say yes to this opportunity. I need to go ahead and do this. So I go to this class. It was brilliant. It was about like balayage and business and all this kind of stuff. It was great. And so after, during the Q&A section, one of the stylists that was also in attendance, and this was a room full of like established professionals. Mm-hmm. Everyone was making good money. Everyone was like doing their thing. You know, it was like a very established group of stylists. And this one person said, can you talk a little bit about Instagram? I'm really struggling with this thing or whatever. And just as the educator's like, I'm not a social media expert, but I almost feel like, you know, those moments in your life where you feel like you were replaying it in your head in like slow motion. Mm-hmm. It was like every stylist in this room, except for me, it was like almost like it was like a collective, like figurative throwing of hands where they're just like, I am so sick of social media. I'm overwhelmed by it. I don't know what I'm doing. It's not working. Like I'm not, you know, all of these things about how they were struggling so heavily with social media. And I was sitting there being like, this is the one thing that I feel like I've got like on lock. You know what I mean? This has worked so well for me. I don't feel overwhelmed by it. I feel like it's been a wealth of opportunity. And that was the moment that I realized that I had something else to offer our industry. And up until then, I'd thought about, you know, like I said, I'd been in online education myself. I'd thought about creating something, but I was telling myself stories like, well, there's already, you know, like, for example, like there's already Jamie Dana. I've since interviewed Jamie on my show. A lot of students have been through both of our courses. We both teach the same thing very differently. All of these things, but that was something where I had a lot of imposter syndrome because I'm like, there's this amazing, incredible educator who already has this thing. And then I'm like, but why are all these people still struggling? Because everyone learns differently. Everyone learns from more than one person. And so I realized that there was still space for me. 2 weeks later, March 2020, the entire world shuts down. And I decided like then and there within a couple weeks of being off that I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm not going to go back behind the chair. I dissolved my, you know, incredibly successful business. I let the person I was renting from know that I wasn't going to be coming back, paid out my notice, whatever. And I went full on into online education and teaching marketing and Instagram for our industry.
Holy cow.
Pretty crazy story.
It is. And so, okay, so when you, I'm curious about this part because a lot of us hairstylists have a hard time with this. When you walked away from your job as a hairstylist, were you having a bit of an identity crisis? Because I feel like I definitely had that.
You know, that's an interesting question. It's a really good question, actually. So I think it was kind of like a combination of all the things. Like, I feel like after being in the industry for 15 years, I'd built the business, I'd done all the things. I almost feel like I was ready. Like I think something in me was ready for something new. And I definitely felt like it was a big decision. It was a hard decision, but I feel like I felt so strong in my purpose. And that was something I'd been missing. Like to be totally transparent, the thought that went through my head during our infertility struggle, the thing that was so difficult for me is I legitimately thought everything good in my life has already happened. It's all downhill from here. That was the voice. So having this new thing that I felt like this purpose got me through. So I guess I wasn't thinking about that specifically because I was so like, I just had so much purpose in this new thing. Like I wanted to help hairstylists because I love my clients, but I love our industry and I love the people that work as hairstylists, as educators. Like I just think we have some of the most incredible humans in the world. So I would say I probably had a couple of those thoughts, but the overwhelming purpose to do this new thing was stronger.
Yeah, I can kind of resonate with that myself. Back in earlier this year, I had kind of an aha moment that it was kind of the same feeling where I was like, oh my gosh, I can help hairstylists so much with this. Mm-hmm. It almost like brought me to tears. I was like, this is what we're missing. This is like that special sauce and that thing that I can bring to the table. And like, as much as I love changing my clients' lives and helping and impacting them and my communities, I was like, I can impact and help so many more people if I invite hairstylists into the story. So up until that point, I had a really hard time with being like, I'm not a hairstylist behind the chair anymore. But as soon as I had that revelation, it was like a little easier to think, okay, I can shift into this new person now.
Right? Yes. And that's exactly what it is. It's a shift, right? It's an identity shift. And I think especially because like a lot of us, like, especially if you're listening to a podcast right now, you're a stylist, like you're investing your free time to further your career. Like we're passionate about it, right? And so like whenever you think about like, who am I? I'm a hairstylist. Like obviously we all have identities outside of that, but I think so many of us resonate so deeply. And so you're absolutely right. When you step out from behind the chair, there is a huge identity shift that you need to go through.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's helpful to go through that identity shift when you have a calling.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're totally right.
Oh, man. Okay. So you switched to online marketing, social media stuff. Did you immediately just focus on hairstylists? Because you don't just help hairstylists anymore, right?
Right. So basically what happened, it's kind of interesting. Like it's kind of like a mixture of like purpose and then also something organic kind of happened in the background. So initially, yes, what I really felt strongly about was doing what I knew really well. Like and this is like something that I will die on this hill. Like I'm not here to make people who are just like, or help people who are just like trying to make a quick buck. Like the people that I work with genuinely care. And that's something that like, I hope that my clients will say about me is that like, I care a lot about people and about what I'm doing. So when I first started educating, I was like, I'm going to teach what I know, like the back of my hand, right? So I went really in and really specific on Instagram marketing for hairstylists, building a brand. I worked with some stylists locally. I taught a class locally. So I went very niche. My first ever group coaching program that I launched was called Beauty Brand Bootcamp. I launched it through Instagram stories. A couple local stylists took it, and it's really cool, actually. I won't digress, but I'll tell you what happened from that first group later, maybe. But yeah, so I got really, really specific. And so what ended up happening during that time was I was putting like, I mean, I think in 2 years, I probably spent like $50,000 on education because I was like, I want to learn everything, right? Like I invested so heavily what I was making like back into my business. And so because of that, digital marketing was very different, right? So I learned not just about social media, but about email marketing, about, you know, funnels, about all of these things. And I was able to launch my own programs. I was really, really... I feel like one of my superpowers in the beginning is I really am acutely aware of like the people that I'm helping, like what they're dealing with, what they're, you know, how, and then also like what our aspirations are. Like we're visionaries, we're creatives, right? So I was able to create content that was so specific and, you know, that was really helpful. What happened is other educators, other coaches noticed that. So I was getting a lot of DMs and people approaching me saying like, hey, like, I see that you're doing this. Can you help me? And like I said, I'd walked away from my business behind the chair. So I was like, absolutely. Like, I need to make this thing a go. So I started offering services as well. So I started offering like social media management or content creation, consulting for other educators, like really just truly sharing like what was working for me and what I know. And then that kind of evolved to the point where there was too much demand and I literally could not keep up. So that is when I branched out into creating my marketing agency while growing my online education at the same time. So that's kind of the story there. I hope I answered your question. I think I kind of went off a little bit.
No, it's good. I like that. And so now in your marketing agency, is it just you running the show or do you have like employees? What does that look like?
So now we have a team of 4 directly in the agency. And then I have a couple other team members as well. So yeah, that's what that looks like now. But it's definitely shifted a lot of times, because I do like, we kind of have a hybrid approach where I am like the strategist, but I can't create all that content. Like I physically can't do it. And it's interesting. One of my first clients actually was like, I don't care who creates the content. You're never going to be able to keep up with all the strategy if you're the one doing everything. So that was the thing that I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. So that was kind of how that was birthed. And so I'm very much like, I'd say like creative director would be my role within the agency. And then I have an incredible team where they get trained on my process. And we like hire people who have experience, but then we absolutely train in the way that we do things. So that's kind of how it works on that side.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of lessons in that whole spiel that you just gave that could be directly related back to hairstylists that are just 100% behind the chair, right? It's like every time I hear you say something, I'm like, yep, that could be used. Oh, yep, that too. You know what I mean? It's like, and I'm like, what's the biggest takeaway here that we could give to hairstylists? Like, okay, let's say there's someone who's like behind the chair and they've got a clientele that's like decent and they've got an income that's like decent, but they could really use to level up. What would be kind of like step one in their marketing journey, right? That could help them kind of take the next step.
Ooh, that's such a good question. I think first thing, honestly, is like taking inventory. Because that was something where like, as I've kind of progressed in my career and there's like a whole other thing, like one of the things that I noticed is it's definitely been a blend of like where I want to go and then the opportunities and then being like, okay, like I've really worked hard to create this opportunity. Do I want to take this or not? So for example, behind the chair, say you keep getting a ton of requests for this service, but the service isn't like maybe as like high, maybe it's not as profitable as some of your other services. You basically have two choices. Either you can change what you're attracting or you can change to attract something different, or you can change the thing that you're attracting people for to make it work for you. So I think that's a really strong piece. When I did a lot of like one-on-one mentoring, you always get into like, you know, not just brand building, but the nitty-gritty of the business. And I think sometimes for stylists, like one of the things that I noticed held a lot of stylists back is not knowing exactly what your pricing is, like not knowing like which services are profitable, which ones aren't. Am I just saying yes out of scarcity to a bunch of stuff that's not really even making me money? Like that I think is really important, particularly when we're having the income conversation. For marketing, again, I'll die on this hill. For any business owner, I think the absolute most important thing you need to focus on 100% of the time is your brand. Marketing channels will come and go. Marketing strategies and tactics will come and go. The one thing that will always be relevant is who are you? What is the value you provide? Who do you serve? What do you help them with? All of these foundational things. What are your values? Like, even in Facebook groups all the time, I'm seeing people say things like, I had to cancel this service because their values no longer align with mine. That is something as a brand, as a beauty business owner, like think about these things and then show it. That is huge when it comes to marketing.
Yeah. And then, yeah, like stick with it too. Like don't say that something is a value of yours and then like push it to the wayside.
No. And I think that's like when it comes to values, my biggest advice always, and this is like, I don't have this program anymore, but one of the things I always used to say inside a Beauty Biz Brand Academy is like, your values are much more like you have to show, not tell. Mm-hmm. So for example, you know, if sustainability is something like environmental sustainability is something that you're very passionate about, like versus saying, instead of saying, I'm passionate about environmental sustainability, show it. Show like I'm a green circle salon. We recycle 99% of the things that you come in and do. Like, you know, this is why we chose this brand because they reflect this value. So instead of just like, you know, everyone can say they value something, but how are you embodying that? And maybe we can show that versus telling it. And believe it or not, I think that's huge when it comes to income. Honestly, like if you get really clear on your brand, everything becomes easier.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I wonder your thoughts on this too. So I think there's definitely power in like looking internally and figuring out what's important to you, especially as a service provider. How do you want to show up? Who do you want to show up as?
Yeah.
But I think there's also a little bit of like being aware of where the market is heading and what your consumers are demanding. Because sometimes you think you're going to come to the table in one way, but then you realize there's a huge demand for another way that you could shift towards and find like incredible increases in your income or clientele or whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
That's such a good question. I think it's, and I think this gets confused a lot, right? Because I've said it and I continue to say is like, be authentic. And what I mean by that is that like you like pretending to be someone else is a recipe for disaster, right? Because people are actually going to meet you. However, authenticity does not require a complete absence of strategy. When I say be authentic, I don't mean show up on Instagram and trauma dump everything that's happened to you that's bad. That's not what I mean. That's, yeah, that's not what I mean by authenticity. But it's more about how you show up and your voice and all these things. Your marketing and your positioning and what you bring to market absolutely, I think, has to be based on that. Like, for example, during the balayage trend, I don't know that anyone could have like really made it as, you know, like doing the kind of highlights that have actually kind of started to make a comeback. But like, you know, like the 90s, like I had them, like the red blonde stripe thing going on. When the market is demanding like the balayage and the blended and the blondes and all that stuff, like it might be, maybe you'll find a little niche, maybe you will, but like half of stylists couldn't go that route. You know what I mean? Like they would have to, unless it's a very specific niche, at some point you do have to look at like, what do my clients want? So I think it's always needs to be a consideration. And that's part of building your brand too. It's not just about you. It's also about the person that you're wanting to attract and work with. Because we're all in the industry, right? Like even now what I do, if I'm creating stuff that nobody wants, I mean, I'm not going to have a very successful business, no matter how authentic I show up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I think this also hits on something else that I think of a lot that I think hairstylists get wrong. They think that they can come in and create their brand. And to them, that means make a cute salon space and have a cute aesthetic on Instagram. And then they come in with like a set of boundaries and policies and values, and then it's like a done deal that they don't have to think about again. There needs to be this like ever shifting like awareness of your brand, and like because markets change, because demand changes, because styles change, you always have to be acutely aware of what's going on in the world and then shifting, right?
Well, absolutely. Like for example, think about like, I mean, think about me. Like if I came in and I refused to talk about Reels when Reels came out, you know what I mean? Like that would be like, it's like a whole bunch of people. It's like if you're refusing to talk about something that's a huge conversation in your industry, I think you almost lose credibility there. And like with the branding too, like I think one of the biggest pieces is experience. So it's not just about the aesthetic, it's about the experience and like how you make people feel. And so that is something too, where like sometimes I'll have people be like, I don't really want to like niche, like drop all these services or whatever. And I don't think you always have to. I think it's easier to market to a niche, absolutely. But I think that the experience niche is something that is under marketed to and underutilized, because that's something where styles change for sure. But like if I knew, like for if I had someone in my area who I could go and get like a spa style hair treatment, I wouldn't care. Like I would pay extra for that. I would do all the things. Like those are the kind of things you need to think about, is like, what does your client value in their experience, your ideal client as well? Cause that's a huge part of your brand.
I love that you bring that up, because that is actually like something I specialize in, is helping people hone in on their client experience.
And love that.
Yeah, like for you, the client experiences digitally, right? Like how are they going to experience your brand and experience what you have to offer online? Yeah. And you do that through all these digital marketing channels.
Yeah.
And for me, speaking to a hairstylist, it's how are your clients in your chair going to experience what you're offering? It's a very different thing, but like kind of the same at the same time, right?
Yes. And it has to be consistent. Like that's the thing, right? Like you can put all this time and energy into creating a beautiful online aesthetic and like all of that. And listen, I think it's important. That was something that was important to me as a hairstylist. But the end goal is they're going to come to your salon. They're going to meet you. They're going to get the service. And it, at no point, like I think I always used to call it like an moment, like, you know what I mean? Like from finding you on social media to going to your website, to booking an appointment, to coming into the salon, feel like if you can create, if you're building all that trust and then they come in and it's not what they were expecting, you're never going to see that person again, right? And you can, I mean, I'm in marketing. I know the importance of attracting new people, But you could attract new people all day long and you're still going to struggle to make it if you're not retaining.
Right. Would that be considered catfishing? Like if you like build this whole brand up, right? And then your client comes in and it's like totally not the same.
Yeah.
Like wah, wah. I'm pretty sure.
I would feel super catfish. And actually my friend Hunter has actually said that. And I was like, it was like, don't catfish your clients. And I'm like, absolutely. Like that's such a good way of putting it. You're 100% right.
I never thought of it like that, but it's totally like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Man.
You know, what's funny is in some of this content that I've put together recently, I'm doing this because I had this realization. When it comes to digital marketing, we talk about like, you know, people being leads, like you have warm leads and cold leads, and then you have like your nurture sequences when you get someone into your space. And there's all of this like protocols of like how to handle, how to present yourself. And in the salon, that really doesn't exist for us. There's not a lot of people coaching to that. And so what I'm trying to put together for stylists, I love that we're talking about this, is like a welcome sequence for a new client, right? Like not just digitally, that's important too, but like literally in your chair, like the words that are coming out of your mouth.
I love that.
The actions of your body, the emotions that you're helping them feel, and then how are you going to nurture them through the journey of being your client, right?
First, I love that.
Second visit, all the way on through, there should be like things that you're hitting along the way with every client to make sure that it's like brand specific for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I think you're right. It's like that in-person experience is vital. I feel like too, over the last like few years, everything's cyclical, right? Everything has been so digital, obviously, like we know why, but like, I think that that bringing back and paying extra attention to that in-person those in-person touches, like that is going to really help you build something sustainable and grow something sustainable. So we're all like, I think that's the thing for hair too, is like, I don't know about where you live, but I can go to the grocery store, buy all my stuff, check out, go home, get gas without literally talking to a single other human being. Like, everything is digitalized now. You don't even have to check out with a human at the grocery store anymore, right? Hair is one of those really personal industries still, right? We have that human connection all the time, all throughout it. Like, you know, you get all of these, you hear first about pregnancies and like, you know, graduations, and you get to celebrate and be there for all of this stuff. And the relationship piece is so, so vital. And I think that that's something we need to be really aware of when we're thinking about businesses. And that doesn't mean like tolerate getting treated like crap or lower your boundaries or anything. It just means like put the value in the relationship because it is there. That's something I brought to like even the digital marketing space that I think sometimes we don't think about the transferable skills too. For anyone who's even thought about, you know, side hustling maybe or like stepping out or whatever, like there's so many skills that you learn as a hairstylist just by working in this industry that are so transferable and applicable to different things in life too.
Absolutely. I feel like more than probably any other industry that I know of, hairstylists tend to grow a huge sense of like emotional intelligence.
Totally.
And that stretches like way far beyond just being a hairstylist too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the relationships in your personal life, like all of those things. I think that, I don't know, like I said before, I love hairstylists. I think that there's something really special about the industry that we're in. And you see, even like, I haven't done hair for like 3.5 years. And I'm like, I don't think you ever really let go of that identity when you've worked in the hair industry.
Totally. And I think it probably helped shift you and shape you into being able to do marketing the way you are, because you had those experiences with clients and you got to understand how you can really impact someone with a good experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's like, I mean, even like, I think the in-person thing, even in the digital space, like we started hosting retreats at the end of, or this year, this fall, because I think that in-person experience, like I want to bring that into our digital marketing thing as well. And, you know, the relationships, like that's what when I built a marketing agency, I was like, I am not building one of these like super, like I use automation, don't get me wrong, but I'm not building one of these like super slick, like bro, like markety things. We are literally called Align Creative Co. Cause like the creativity is the utmost of the utmost importance to me and the experience of the relationship.
Love it. Okay, so I know a few people personally that work with you. You know, there's, I guess they both speak to beauty industry folks mostly. Who is the majority of your clients that you work with nowadays?
So the majority of people that I work with nowadays are like, you know, either creatives or hairstylists who have started serving their industries in a different way. So that be that coaching, be that online courses, speaking, like some of our clients are like authors, that kind of stuff. So that is who I predominantly work with, as well as like people. So I'd say the catch-all word for the people that I really serve is visionary entrepreneurs.
Ooh, I like that.
That is like how I resonate with that. My clients really like that is how I see them. They're here to make a difference. They're here to make an impact on like a huge scale. And so for me, that was how I was like, okay, this is how I, you know, that like evolution, right? Now I can impact the hair industry and some of the stuff like, you know, like I still have things that are like really helpful for hair sis. Like, you know, if you want to learn how to use many chats or you want to do this or, but particularly if you're ready to impact the industry outside of behind the chair kind of thing, that is where I have found my calling and like my real joy. Cause I was doing both for a long time. And I think at a certain point, I've always said you can't be a master in everything. And I want to, and I kind of chose where I'm going all in. And so I choose to impact our industry by impacting the people who are impacting our industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Have you found that there is kind of a certain breakover point where a hairstylist gets to where they're like, okay, now I'm ready to take the next step. Like for you, you were 15 years in and then the pandemic was like the catalyst, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But have you seen kind of a like, yeah, is it like 5 years in, 10 years in, 15 that you see more people wanting to come to you to say like, okay, I'm ready to do something different?
No, which is interesting. And not everyone wants to leave behind the chair either. That's like another thing. So I think that like I have people who are like for my agency clients, like right this minute, we have clients who are like 25, 27. We have clients who are in their 50s. So like it really does, it really depends. Like I think the common, maybe the common thing is they're ready for more. They're called for more. Not that, and I, when I say more, I want to be extremely clear that I do not believe that there is anything wrong with staying behind the chair for the rest of your life. I don't mean more as in better. I mean more as in different. So like, I know a lot of people, like I said, my mom is just turned 60 and she is still behind the chair, loves doing hair. I respect her and her business just as much as any other person I've ever met. So like, I think that, you know, it's people who are called to have a role where they're impacting the industry in a different way. That would be the best way I can say it. Yeah.
That's a really good way to put it. And I feel like I resonate with that. Like I've always been the kind of person that like, I can't stop thinking about the next thing. Right.
Yeah.
And
for
it used to be like with my clients, I'd be like thinking 4 appointments ahead for them. And I'm like, all right, I got the next year planned out with their hair colors. And I'm like, and then we can do this and we can do that. And then I can bring this in and do that. And like, I always thought about trying to like increase different things in the salon and like events we could do. I couldn't turn it off. Totally. I was just constantly like ping-ponging all over the place with ideas.
So you're a visionary.
It's like built into me. So I think that's a really different thing to bring up here is like some people, like most of my coworkers my entire life that I've worked with are like very happy hairdressers. Mm-hmm. And they love that like they clock out, right? Quoting here. They clock out and like they're done for the day. They don't go home thinking about it. I'm like dreaming about stuff and like up at night making notes, keeping journals of like, what am I going to do with my life? Like there's more, this like, you know, big M-O-R-E in the sky kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I love hearing that you agree with that.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And like, I think that a lot of people too, like I haven't actually asked any of my clients, but if I were to poll them, I would venture that a lot of them have probably at least had ideas for different businesses before. Like I remember like I was like, I'm going to have a candle company. And then I had like all these different ideas. The other thing too that I'll mention is that sometimes it's a lifestyle thing. So for me, that is a part of it as well. Like, it was definitely the calling, but also like location freedom. Like, my family lives 12-hour drive away. I like to travel. I like seeing the world. I was born in England. I live in Canada. Like, I've never felt, I don't know how to say this. Like, I've never felt at home being just at home. I feel like my husband calls it like the itch that I get, because I'm like, I need to like go. I need to see the ocean. I need to do these things. So that was a part of it too, is I didn't, like, I was very drawn to a type of career that included travel. And I think for some of my clients and some of the educators I talk to, part of it can be a lifestyle thing as well.
For sure. Yeah. They say, what was it? Some podcast I listened to a while ago that was talking about the different ways that you can find freedom as an entrepreneur. Yes. And it was like time freedom, financial freedom, which we find both of those things behind the chair, right? You can make really 100%. Good money, have a great schedule. But the other one was location freedom. And that's one thing as a hairdresser behind the chair, you are tethered to your chair, right?
Yes.
Which for some people is great. They're rooted. They're happy. Yep. They have their cool communities and their lives. And then there's others of us that are like, I don't want to be tied.
Exactly. Exactly. And like, I think the thing that's really beautiful about like the era that we're in now is like, all of these things are good. None of these things are bad or wrong. Like, it doesn't mean like, you know, someone wanting to pursue something out beyond, you know, the chair, it doesn't mean anything about like loving the industry or the career that we're in or any of those things, right? I think sometimes we get in our heads, and I think this has been indoctrinated in us just forever, that endings have to be bad, like that it has to mean that something was bad or wrong. And when I shut down like Beauty Biz Brand Academy, I had a lot of guilt because I was like I loved it still. Like, so it wasn't that I didn't want to have, like, it wasn't that it was bad or that it wasn't working, or that I, you know, didn't like it anymore. It was that I just wanted to go in a different direction. And I was just like, you know what? Sometimes a door has to close for another door to open, and that can be okay.
Do you know what your Enneagram number is?
Oh my goodness. I just did this because my friend Casey Taylor loves the Enneagram. I don't know if you connect with her. She's incredible. No. And I just did this, and I cannot for the life of me remember what it was. I want to say, was it a 3 or a 7 maybe? I don't know.
I was going to guess 7. That's what I am too.
And I'm
I wonder if a lot of us, I forget the name of the 7. It might be like the dreamer or something. I should know this. I interviewed this girl who's like an Enneagram specialist, and it was such a fun conversation. But there's a lot of similarities with like the entrepreneurial fire that a lot of us have and that personality.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I love that. And you're right. It's like, you just can't turn it off. And I've been this way since I can't even remember. Like, I remember like putting together girl bands and, you know, looking for managers and stuff like that when I was like 7. So some of us just have that drive, and I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Sometimes I wish I was someone who would just be like, I remember thinking like, what is wrong with me? Why do I care so much? Like, I'd be in a good salon. I'd be making great money, and I'd be like, not satisfied. And I remember wishing that I just was. But now I realize it's just who I am, and you just follow it, you know?
Right, right. Okay, so I'm curious, when you have someone come into your space, what is one of the biggest like mental roadblocks that they have to get through first in order to kind of start their like marketing journey? Because I think this could really help hairstylists out.
I think a fear of being seen and a fear of being judged.
Bingo.
And the interesting thing is, it's never the judgment of the people that you're actually marketing to that you're worried about. It's always like, you know, and I dealt with it, like, because I started relatively like, now I think it's just kind of a given. Like, we're on Instagram, we show up, like whatever. When I kind of started that, like, I remember all of my coworkers had Instagram accounts, but I remember talking about things and someone being like, well, I mean, Instagram's not going to be around for very long. Like, it's not like it's a career or whatever. And like, you know, like, isn't it like, I can't remember what the comment was, but it was something about like, I just remember feeling like, should I feel ashamed of like what I'm doing? You know what I mean? Like, I'm able to like, I can't grasp the comment, but it was basically like, you know, this is a waste of time, essentially, or like, you know, really like self-indulgent, whatever. And at that point, I had already built a really successful business using Instagram. I was already able to fill cancellations within like 24 hours by throwing up an Instagram story. You know what I mean? Like, it was working and it still made me feel that way. So if you're getting started and you're, you know, internalizing these things or you're hearing these things or whatever, it can definitely become difficult to get off the ground. So I think that mindset piece is probably the biggest thing. I don't know if you're like a personal development book, like obsessed person like I am, but the book that changed my life was You're a Badass by Jen Sincero. Mm-hmm. And that really, there's a part in that book where she's like, you know, this was like a different time. She's like, I was like, you know, my marketing team made me like stand in a blazer and like take all these cheesy pictures. And I was absolutely friggin' mortified, but I did it anyway. And it was like, and now it's different. You could be more yourself. So it's great. But it's like, part of it is just being scared and just doing it anyway. And like, if people are going to judge you, they're going to judge you whether or not you show up and market yourself. So like the idea of no one judging you ever, like that's just, I would just release that right now, because it's the only way to do that is to never do, say, or be anything ever.
Yeah. And like, to be completely honest, like judgment is a natural human thing we do.
Yeah.
It's like
100%.
And it doesn't need to be a bad thing either. Like, it's just someone's judgment shouldn't affect you and how you feel about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just taking that weight off and just like getting out of your own way is typically a lot of it. And then also too, this is like a little bit of tough love, but like sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do.
So true.
Like, period. Like, I don't want to do my bookkeeping. Like, it's more fun now for sure, now that I have like a fun bookkeeper, but like, you know, I don't wake up in the morning jumping out of bed at the idea of going through my bank statements. Like, that's not something I love, but I have to, because if I don't, my business will fail. So when it comes to marketing, it's one of those things where, you know, if you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to, marketing will change over the next 10 years. Maybe Instagram won't be a thing. Maybe the things will change the way that we do them, but you're always going to have to market your business. And if you don't, mm-hmm. you won't have one.
Yeah.
Like, that's so just the way it is.
I think that's whether you're showing up digitally with your marketing or in person. Like, I was coaching 100%. A stylist recently who was having a hard time getting clients in her chair, right? And mm-hmm. I don't focus on digital marketing as any of my coaching, because that's not my zone of genius, right? Like, I barely figure it out myself. But in-person marketing, that is my jam. And so I gave her some things that have worked for me over the past, like, you just have to get over the fact that you might be embarrassed. But like, I would 100%. Find a way to insert the fact that I'm a hairstylist into every conversation that I would have with every rando in town. You know what I mean? Like, some lady in the candle store, and I'd say something like, oh my gosh, this smells like this hairspray I use. I mean, that's a stupid example, but like.
No, but that's awesome. I love that.
And she might look at me like, okay, ding dong hairstylist, like whatever. But at least I put myself out there. And more often than not, the response was, oh, you're a hairdresser?
Yeah.
Tell me about this, right? And so it would mm-hmm. open a conversation, but I had to be able to put myself out there and be judged.
Yes. And that's the thing. Like, it doesn't matter where you're showing up, really. Like, and it's same thing for online as in person, right? Like, it's, and especially now, because like there is so much more, I feel like it's very similar actually to the way that people feel when they are putting themselves out there. Like, for me, the idea of going and handing out a business card, I would way rather make a video on Instagram. Some people feel the opposite, right?
That's the opposite.
So like, yeah, exactly. So it's like just finding what works for you and then starting the journey that way. Like, it's not that you have to do everything exactly how, you know, one person says. It's just that you need to find a way to do it, because you have to put yourself out there. Nobody can book a service with someone they don't know exists. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So you have to find a way to get in front of, and that's all marketing is, really. It's like, my favorite quote is, marketing is like asking someone on a date. Branding is the reason that they say yes.
Ooh.
Is that good? I love that one. That's Ren Jones. And that applies online and offline. So whether or not you're doing it on the internet or in person, you have to extend the invitation. And part of that is them just knowing that you exist.
Absolutely. So I'm wondering, I guess this goes back to when you used to coach more hairstylists.
Yeah.
Would you ever touch on any of the in-person marketing? Because I feel like they need to kind of go hand in hand, right? Like,
yeah.
What if you have this like amazing online presence and your marketing is like beautiful, and then you go to the bank and there's like a perfect opportunity to have a conversation with this person that's your ideal client by looking at them, but you don't say anything and they don't have social media, so they don't know you exist.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting one. So I don't coach to in-person marketing because honestly, that was like my nightmare as a stylist, like when I was behind the chair. But I do talk about experience. So like the in-person experience between the two, but I agree with you. I think that's the thing, right? And once you get comfortable, like now I would be fine talking in person because I built that confidence, right? So it's like any muscle, it's just figuring out the way to like activate that part of yourself so that you're able to show up and promote your business. And I think that like, by focusing, like I said, I focus on the experience in the salon because I think that's a huge part of it. You cannot have a beautiful online presence and then have like a subpar business like in the chair. Like that just will not work. But I think you're great. I do think all of it goes hand in hand. And once you develop that confidence in your experience and that confidence in your like online presence and offline presence, it all does work together. It's all part of your brand and what you provide.
Awesome. Well, as we wrap this up, Jodi, I would love to hear, I'm like trying to think maybe a first step that a stylist could take if they're like struggling with their marketing and they want to kind of improve how they show up online, because we'll stick with your zone of genius here.
Yeah.
What is a first step they should do to do that?
So honestly, whenever people come to me, they're like, I'm not getting any clients, all this stuff. The first thing I look at is like, the amount that they're showing up. And like, if it's like, and I don't coach to you have to post every day at all. But if you're posting like once every 6 months and you're not attracting clients on social media, that's why. Just like, just simplify everything. And so if you are showing up and you're not getting the results that you want, I think it does come down to your branding. I think step one is getting clear on your brand, because like, the thing that people do instead of that is they'll just post hair photo after hair photo after hair photo. People need to be able to see, and this is like not just on Instagram, but also like on your website, wherever else you show up, like who you are, who you serve, the space, the experience, and your work, not just your work. That's kind of a really important piece there.
Okay, I love that. And then just to clarify, because I feel like so many people get stuck on their brand being the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Right? What we're talking about is literally, why would someone come to you?
Yeah. So Jeff Bezos actually has a really great quote, and it's brand for a business is like reputation for a person. So when you think about your brand, and when I refer to your brand, the visuals are part of it. Like I always used to go values, voice, and visuals. That was like the three V's of personal branding. And that's kind of where you're leading with. But if you're focusing on showcasing those, like I'm kind of breaking it down for someone who maybe hasn't done the personal branding process. If you can kind of showcase those five things that we just talked about, that is going to like pull your personal brand out of you in a way. And I do think, and this might be an unpopular opinion, because I think that, you know, but I think that more curated, not curated, but I think more put together feeds are going to make a comeback, because I think that like visual, and I mean like, you know, consistency, I don't mean perfection, I mean recognizable content. Because honestly, I think it's a subconscious thing in the beauty industry that like they care about their business, they care about the way they represent their business. That means they're going to care about me and the way that I'm taken care of. Mm-hmm. So I do think there is that piece as well. It's not that I'm hating on visual branding. It's just that I think that the deeper branding work needs to come first, because otherwise, how are they going to make sense? Like if your values and your vibe and everything is like, you know, you're creating an escape. It's like relaxing and it's chill and it's calm. And like, you want to attract people who really want to come, you know, come in and be calm and have that experience. And then you're showing up online with like, you know, like neons and like metal music in all your videos. Like, it's probably not going to make any sense. That's why I think that part needs to come first.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up because I tend to follow a lot of industry leaders and coaches right. and experts because I like having these kind of conversations, right? And so yeah. I will like size up someone's yeah. presence subconsciously, I think. But now yeah. that you said it, I'm like, this is a thing in like 2 seconds. Like
yeah.
I'll see a post or a story or something. And then I go and I click on their feed. And if it has yeah. this like very nice aesthetic. Like, it doesn't need yeah. to be anything specific, but it's all, there's continuity.
Yeah.
I'm immediately like, oh, this person knows what they're doing.
Trust. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Trust and consistency go hand in hand, I think. And that's what it is, right? It's like, you can be sure. My business coach actually says this all the time. She's like, if someone's like very reactive and they're showing up and you can tell whether they're in a mood and it's like, they'll post once and then ghost you for 6 months, like all this stuff, like that doesn't feel like a, what does she call it? Like a safe investment. And I kind of feel that same way. Like, I think that the way that we show up online doesn't have to be perfect. Some people are like really funny and they like something more like offbeat and quirky. Some people are just like, I'm just going to like have, you know, like image only, like all of that stuff. So like you said, it's not about being specific. It's about like, can you tell, or does this person just seem kind of like all over the place? And I'm not looking to hire people who are all over the place.
Right. And I would think that most clients aren't looking to pay hairstylists that are all yes, over the place too.
Exactly. Right? Especially mm-hmm. because of the rise of like, I know a lot of people are talking about the luxury services, and I'm all for luxury services. I'm all for building a luxury brand, but you need to present yourself in a way that says luxury, and you need to provide the experience to back it up, because luxury is not a high price tag. It's a whole vibe and experience. So I think that's super important if you're someone who's like, you know, in one of those arenas that are typically more luxury.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I know before we started recording, you mentioned that you're in kind of a transition, like you got rid of a bunch of education yes, that you used yeah. to have, and then you're like starting some new stuff. So if one of my listeners is like, I need more Jody Brown in my life, what is going to be available for them and how can they get a hold of you?
Well, if you're a hairstylist, the first place that I'll direct you to is my podcast, Hairstylist Rising. So it is a huge resource for stylists when it comes to education on branding, on marketing, and then other interviews with like other industry leaders. So that's something that's really great. And then just come send me a DM on Instagram. I'll let you know what I'm up to. I'm always talking about, you know, different things. We do have like a lot of the things that I'm doing now are still very applicable. Like I said, when I first started my marketing education behind the chair, I wasn't just listening to hair podcasts. I wasn't just learning from hairstylists. I was learning from everyone. So if you want to peek into my world and kind of what I'm doing and how I can help you, just send me a DM, let me know.
Love that.
Yeah.
Oh, Jody, this has been such a pleasure. It was really nice to have you on here today. And I'm sure anyone that's listening has definitely gotten some value out of this.
I knew that we would click because I've heard such great things about you from like some of our mutual connections. So thank you for having me on. This has been really great. And I loved your insight too. I'm always excited to learn from other people. I think we have something to learn from everyone, regardless of what industry we're in. So thank you for having me. And this has been great.
Aww, yay. Oh, awesome. Well, we will definitely be in touch because I feel like you're going to be someone I'm going to follow here.
Same.
Thanks, Jody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me here today for another episode of the Your Hair Mentor podcast, my friend. It's always my pleasure to be here sharing these conversations with you and really inspiring you in your career and in your lives. And I have a feeling that Jody did that for you today as well. So if you're interested in getting in contact with her, I will have links in the show notes for you as usual. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast episode, I'm actually a guest on
on her show coming up soon, which I will have a link to as well. And I can't wait to share that with you when it goes live, because it is also fire conversation. I mean, So, as I always like to say, my friend, I hope you have a wonderful hair day, and I'll see you next time. Okay, bye.